Jesus, Yahushua HaMashiach, Lord and Savior, Deliverer, Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, I greet you in that name that changes the game. You know, it continues to remain an amazing time, as always, to walk with Christ, to be one of His. But also, you know, it is a time of stretching and testing and trials, tribulations of all kinds. All of those things, they come, they will come, there'll be more. And it's important that each of us knows and approaches it in the right way to go through these things. You know, I think one thing that God has allowed in the past has been for a series of experiences for us to go through, and then He gives us a little bit of rest, you know, and a chance to reflect and to understand and to recover, and then we go through a whole nother set. And in each time, He's stretching us and letting us rest, stretching us and letting us rest. You know, kind of like if you've done some exercise before, or you've ever trained for a sport, you know, you do sets because, you know, I mean, obviously you're training and conditioning for something specific, but you'll go very hard for a window and then you'll rest. You'll go very hard for a window of time and then you'll rest. And each time you keep building stronger and stronger for, you know, the purposes that you are training and working towards. So God does that with us, you know, and I know just from some of the emails that I've been getting, a lot of us have been going through some very, very difficult times in recent days. But even with that too, I do believe that God's given us, you know, a little bit of a breather here coming up as well. And so, you know, every army has, you know, different things that though you're prepared to fight at all times, there's times when you're marching, there's times when you're resting and retooling, there's times when you are in the fight. I mean, there's different things that you do as an army if you are going to be able to fight and to war. So it's not one-dimensional, it's multidimensional in different aspects of what you do as a group and as a unit for the war that you're in and the war that's at hand. But yeah, it is rough sometimes, of course. You know, that's part of what we signed up for. And that's also part of why a lot of people that consider the option to follow Christ, they fall away. You know, Jesus talked about the seed that was sown on the different soils. And, you know, when the trials came for the word, when the difficulties came, there was a whole chunk of them that fell away, that stopped, that went back, because though they might have wanted Jesus, they didn't want the price tag. You know, they wanted a 50% off Jesus. They wanted a 25% off Jesus. They didn't want the full measure of what it would cost them to follow Him. Because, you know, Jesus, He expects us to match Him in every respect. Ultimately, we become a reflection of Him. But He expects us to match His... So when He gave 100% for His creation and for us, anything less from us is unacceptable. Anything less from us is not being that true disciple that God has called you to be. Now, that doesn't mean you get everything perfect. Of course not. But it means that in the core of your being, 100% you are turned towards Him. And you want Him, you're following Him, you get knocked down, you get up, as the Spirit of God quickens you, brings you back, and you keep going. And you're always looking to move forward with Him. So, you know, it's not It's not a smooth road as such, but it is a path and it is a way. And frankly, it's the best game in town. And we that follow Christ, we know that. So, you know, that said, you pretty much know that the surface reality is a lie, is not the truth. You pretty much know that, by and large, the things that the mainstream will tell you are controlled. You know, and it requires some discernment. You know, if you don't have the spirit of discernment working in you, if you don't have the Spirit of God quickening you, telling you what is what, you will fall for the deception. I do think that it is more dangerous now than in the past, simply because the enemy's methods have gotten so much more refined. The ability to track, triangulate, monitor, just stalk people has turned into something, you know, on a level that, you know, I mean, this wasn't like this in the Dark Ages. Yeah, maybe there's, you know, spirits that have continued to operate like that, but the natural manifestations of the system that they have built have become extremely sophisticated. And if it is not for the Spirit of God leading and guiding you, if it is not for the Spirit of God that's quickening you and taking you through and showing you what to do, showing you left, right, straight, stop, still, listen to this voice, do not listen to this one. If it's not for that, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Because surely it is absolutely true there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, I these days I actually haven't had a TV, because the TV that I used to watch, it blew a fuse, something like that, and conveniently they couldn't fix it until after the World Cup, so they told us. Well, this is me interpreting what they meant by the time period, because in this country, there's a good chance they might have even rented out your TV for somebody else. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. But no, the byproduct of not having, you know, much of a television to watch is you don't sit down and just flip the thing on. So if you do watch something, you're watching something very deliberately. You're going to a certain site, a certain place to look at something, to check something out. And but yeah, you know, I mean, just back to some of my younger friends in particular, don't just flip that thing on and let it go there in the background. If you're going to have something going in your place, let it be something that strengthens your spirit, because that will put you to sleep. That will, the television and a lot of the music that's out there will make it harder for you to hear. Will sort of deaden your ears, and it's on purpose. You know, the devil does that on purpose, because he doesn't want you hearing, listening to the voice of God. So he tries to run interference if it were, and then to use that interference, then to now so you can't get the message you need to, and then now try to give you every other message under the sun, so that you try to listen to those voices that might be there. So yeah, I mean, this is back to a few things that you can do on your side, on your part, to just to make sure that you're disciplined, and like a disciple is a disciplined person, that you're disciplined sufficiently so that you can hear what you need to, so that you can make the decisions that need to be made for this day. Give us this day our daily bread is the word and the instruction that Jesus gave us in prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you feed me what I need for this day to be sustained on this journey, on this way, on this path with you. I trust you. I look to you. I understand, Lord, that you've called me to be your disciple. And so accordingly, I will follow you. But let me know what this is for real. And I don't want to fall for the deception. Now, it's funny because I've got some, I think more recently, some friends that, have grown up around the church systems. And interesting talks, interesting chats, and those that see through it and understand the game that most of these guys play for the purpose of, it's a business. Look, the church system is a business. It is run like a business. In fact, it's run like a bad business in a lot of senses, because if they didn't have, in America, if they didn't have the 501c3 status, which is a tax exemption, they wouldn't be able to continue to sustain themselves. So they depend on that. But a lot of these guys, they make a deal with the state in exchange for what they'll talk about and what they'll say and where their allegiances are. And they sell out the plan and purpose of God in that process. You remember when Jesus was about to be crucified? And what did the Pharisees say? Away with him. And what did Pilate say? He said, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they said, "At the end of the day, the rub of the matter, we have no king but Caesar." Yep. When it gets into the crunch, when everything gets hot and bothered, and people have to now say their allegiances and say their alliances, those that were the rulers, the spiritual rulers of the day, their allegiance was not to God. Their provision did not come from God. It came from their allegiance to man, to the systems of men, and to the governments of the world. Whereas you get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Babylonian kingdom serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court, and yet when it came down to, you need to bow your knee, Daniel chapter 3, and what did they say? They were like, "O king, we do not need to be careful about answering you in this matter. Because as for this thing, we won't bow. We will not bow. We will not participate." Because there comes a dividing line. There comes a point where, okay, sorry, just not happening. Actually, no, there's no sorry. You don't apologize. There comes a point, you just say, "Nope, not doing it. This is the cutoff." Because scriptures talk about as much as possible to live at peace with both God and men, but there comes a point where it's not possible. There comes a point, if they push us, the difference between us and them is that we don't bow to the world system. They do. Their allegiance is to the world system. Ours is not. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And so that process of being in the world... Now, here's the thing, too, with being in the world. What you will do in the world is not what you would choose unto yourself. What you would do in the world is that which the Spirit of God will assign you to. See, that's why we have that wilderness desert experience that all of us have. If you will follow Christ, that's as soon as you have your awakening as such and you make your commitment to follow him, that seems to be pretty much one of the first places he sends you, is out into the wilderness with just to burn everything out of you and to bring you to an end of yourself, so that there's nothing left in you. There's nothing left of who you once were. It's just him. And you have to go through that. It's painful. The death to self is a painful thing. But there's a breaking that each and every one of us must go through. You have to go through it. Because without that, the Spirit of God that's in you cannot pour forward. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Well, that flowing comes as you're broken. Just like that alabaster jar, there's something beautiful inside of there, a sweet fragrance inside of there, but it had to be broken to be able to be poured at the Lord's feet. And you and I must be broken and shattered into 1,000 pieces for the fragrance of your life to be made known, for that which God has put in you to be made known. So, you know, this is why, too, we wouldn't choose it, of course. Of course we wouldn't choose it. But that's why we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, your will, not mine. Because my will would choose the smoothest path, the easiest way, pleasure, no pain. I would make it easy on myself if it was me. But because it's not me, because it's the Spirit of God, because He directs our lives, He takes us through a way that will bring out that which is within us, that which God has put in us. It will emerge. It wouldn't happen any other way. You don't get a beautiful jewel without that rock has to be cut, has to be polished, has to be... I mean, it a lot has to happen before you see a beautiful jewel. It's in there, but it's got to go through a process. And that process takes time. So that's why, too, you submit yourself to the Spirit of God. You know, the quickest way through all of this stuff, I'll give you the path, the fastest path. 100% turn yourself over to God right now. Hold nothing back and just go full out, full on, 100% every day of your life till now, till the day that you depart this world. That is the fastest way to get through the things that you might face. Because, you know, if you... A friend of mine one time told me, it's very true, if you fail to learn the lessons from your past, you are destined to repeat them. One more time. If you fail to learn the lessons from your past, you are destined to repeat them. So, one statement that my dad made compliment to that is, life is too short to be learning the same lessons twice. So, between those two... it's been a good quickening for me in what I would do and how I would do it. Learn from your mistakes. The Spirit of God has encouraged us. He'll bring things to your remembrance from the Word to help you, so that there's certain lessons you don't have to learn the hard way. Oh my gosh, I tell you, there are some things, even in the recent months, where I am just... so grateful now, looking back, where when the Spirit of God quickened me, I listened and I did what He told me to do. Because had I not, I can tell what the repercussions would have been, and they would not have been good. It's rough enough following God, but I don't want to be suffering for stupid stuff. I would rather, if you're going to suffer... Oh, and by the way, everybody suffers. Hello. Everybody suffers. That is part of life. But if you can come past the things that you face without and go within, if you can come past the things that you face on the external and dig deep and go down to where, you know, where the kingdom is within... You'll find peace amidst those circumstances. He'll restore an understanding and just a stillness in your soul for what it is that you're facing. But you've got to go within. If you try to stay in the external, if you try to stay without, and in that process of trying to stay without, try to fix your external problem with an external solution, you're just not getting wrapped up into another distraction. First go within, allow there to be peace that falls in your soul, and then from that place within, God will show you what to do or what not to do. Sometimes he'll just tell you very simply, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and let me, and watch what I do. Watch the way that I fight for you in this situation. Watch the way that I take care of this thing for you. He'll do that for you. There's a lot of times, for me, there's a ton of times, where I know in the natural period, I'm in over my head. I am in over my head. I cannot, in and of myself, do anything in this situation. And unless the Spirit of God quickens me, unless the Spirit of God gives me wisdom, direction, guidance, understanding in what to do and how to do it, unless he does that, nothing's happening. I am done. And, you know, it is in those places of complete, total, utter dependence that God, he loves it when we get to that spot. Because then it's so clear that it's him and not us. You know, as long as you think that you've got a resource, as long as that you think that you've got a chance that you can do something, then you don't need God. You think you can do it. But it's when you stretch past anything that you could possibly do and you're put in the impossible situations, that's when you see his hand at work. That's when you see, when you continue to depend on him and you watch and see the way that he puts everything together, that's when you see, okay, this is what's real. So, you know, I mean, in order to be able to do that, we've got to be, allow ourselves to be put in those situations. We just follow him. And as you follow the Spirit of God, it'll be part of your path. Now, I know, it's not nice sometimes. I know. Understand that. Been there, done that. Been there, doing that. Been there, will be doing that in the future, I am sure. But I don't mind. Because I would rather have some tough days, some rough spots, some difficult things, some trials and tribulations, if that's what it meant to have the real deal, to have the abundant life that Jesus promised, to have the real experience of life that God intended for me. I would rather that than the fake thing. I don't want the fake. You don't want the fake. Why would you want that? Why would you want the imitation when what's real is available? Why wouldn't you want the genuine article if it's available and you can have it? You know, first of all, the real is ours in Christ Jesus. You can have the genuine thing. You know, and the genuine thing is for you. You know, in Asia, it's kind of funny. In Asia, there's a ton of counterfeiting that takes place over here. Counterfeiting clothes and brands and, you know, intellectual property. Oh, gosh, yeah. No, there's all of that goes on like crazy over here. I mean, it's a massive industry in and of itself. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they take the counterfeit. Now, part of the thing there too is they can buy a counterfeit. Now, people have built up a brand, and they put brand equity into a really, you know, posh name as such. So people buy the counterfeit that looks kind of close, but it's not real. And of course, when everything's said and done, that fake, that cheap, that knockoff falls apart. Why? Because though it claims to be the original, it claims the brand, so hoping that other people will ascribe that level of quality to the brand that people are carrying around, in the end, it lacks the quality for which the brand is known, because it's not the genuine article. It's not the genuine thing. And, you know, I tell you this much too. Cheap stuff Ancient Chinese proverb. Good things no cheap, cheap things no good. So, yeah, if you bought some low quality stuff, you'll know for yourself that you've got to replace that a whole lot more often. It falls apart on you when you need it, and it's just so much better to have something that is good quality, made right, does the job. So, go for the real deal, and go for the authentic experience. For us in Christ Jesus, we want the real thing. See, this is why, too, that husk of religion has not satisfied your soul. Did not satisfy my soul. You know, I've got a little bit of that sort of Paul testimony as such. No, I mean, like, as far as background goes, I went full on into that system, part of it, part and parcel. You know, vetted to be something in that system. But there came a point in time where God quickened me and showed me this is not it. And when you realize what it's not, if you love Him, you will let that go. If you don't love Him, and if you love the system, then you will hold on to the system and let go of the real Christ. So, you know, it is a test of your spirit. It is a test of your will and your desire. Will you take a form of godliness that denies the power thereof? Or will you take the real thing, and in the process of taking the real thing, forsake all? And forsake that which is around you, and the friendships, the relationships, will you go a very lonely, solitary path if necessary? Will you walk this thing alone if that's what it takes for you to be able to have the true Jesus? Because in the end, it comes to a point where you will be stripped of all, and the only thing that remains is Him. His life in you. You in Him. And in that process of that happening, then there's a consummation between you and the Spirit of God, where there's a oneness, and His life can flow through you. As long as there's anything else there, that's got to be dealt with. And the only way that can be dealt with is by the process He puts you through. But you got to give yourself over to that of your free will. If you choose not to, it ain't going to happen. Plain and simple. If you have some room in your heart that you've got a locked door to, God won't go in there. He won't override your will. He'll let you know that it's there, but you have to choose and want to be set free. But if you don't, that'll be the thing that binds you. That'll be the thing that costs you. That'll be the thing that limits you from the abundant life that God intended for you. You know, I want the abundant life. I don't want anything less than that. I want to know the truth and the reality for which Christ Jesus set me free. Anything less than that is unappealing to me, undesirable to me, unwanted to me. I don't want it. Why would I? Why would I want the fake when I can have the truth? Why would I want that which is a counterfeit when I can have that which is real? So, the only reason they counterfeit is because the real has value. The counterfeit has zero value in itself. That's why they always have to go off of a base of what's real. So, anyways, yes. Oh, it's a good day. It is a good day. So, you know, couple things, a little bit of traveling coming up again. So, I don't know how, again, the rhythm is going to go as far as like when God will give me chances to, or give me words to speak while I'm on the road. But again, you know how to get these. And hey, you guys, if you're listening in, you know, we've put a lot of different ways now for people to be able to share these with other people. So you've got taking advantage of the social medias that are out there. So you've got your Facebook and your Twitter share links. You also can subscribe in the RSS feed, as well as, you know, the blogger one is there too. We post up there every now and then. But all of these things are there. You know, we're not, as a team, the guys that work together on this, we're not ashamed of what it is that God has given us. And we put that out there, and we let it be what it is. If you are... don't let us be your little secret that you hide. You know, if this is helping you, share it and take advantage of the things that are there and share with others. Don't be afraid. And there's other people that need it. So, you know, and sometimes too, if you want to be diplomatic, an easy way to do that is just to send somebody that link and say, hey, I just heard this. Curious what you think about it. Be neutral. See what they say. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of people right now that are looking for some answers to what's going on. And, you know, if you're getting it from someplace, share it, because people need that. So, yeah, hey, put it out there. And also email us. Say hi. Faithmix@gmail.com. Let us know you're out there. God bless you guys. Love you, and we'll catch up with you again soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. You got a-